You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
You know, a videotape existed back in the olden days when I played for Port Angeles High School soccer. That Darlington Nagbe goal was probably reminiscent of one or two that I scored in my playing career, where I was the ultimate garbage man in front of the goal back in the ancient days of American high school soccer. It went right to my heart when I saw the ball
the
roll from his toe into the back of the net. Welcome to a Massport podcast here at Saucy Brew Works, where I'm waiting to see what Sam has ordered.
Coffee.
Just coffee tonight. They usually are good for some food. All right. Well, they've got great pizza, for instance. I'm having the Love You Bye IPA, which is a little awkward to order. It seems a little untoward, but I went through with it, and I made a good choice. Drew, what do you got? Drew McDaniel joining us. What do you got tonight?
Yeah, I got an El Lager, and you know, I've been a longtime listener here, and I had to get the pizza because you guys have talked it up so much.
Good. All right. Well, I look good forward call. To you enjoying that. I like to watch people eat. So, and of course,
and talk soccer.
What do you got?
I have Stolen Signs. That's what it's
the baseball one.
I always want to call it Stolen Bases, but
Stolen Signs.
Stolen Signs.
All right.
So it's the Houston Astros beer.
Yeah, the yes. Houston Astros beer, exactly. Well, welcome to another at Massport podcast. We hope that you'll like and subscribe. Murph is here. Sam is here. And Drew is here. One of the, is it fair to say, a new writer with Massive
yes.
Report? Well, welcome. You did the game grades this week.
Yeah, I did the game
We'll get to that
grades.
Here in a few. Good. I always enjoy that. Always find it interesting. I like to see where my perception matches with the one giving out the grades. So we'll go through that. A very interesting finish in Red Bull Arena on Sunday, where plenty of seats were available.
It looked yes. pretty thin.
It did, and it looked like a really nice day. I've never been there. Is it just hard to get to?
You've been there, Sam.
I've been by it.
It's not hard to get to if you're taking the train. There's a stop right at the stadium.
Right.
But driving, I think it's probably 18, 25 minutes outside the city.
Manhattan,
so depending on where
yeah.
you're coming from. Also, I say this having been an antagonist of attendance people on Twitter, but the Red Bulls, yeah, New York City, first nice day of the year maybe. I don't know.
Is it because they don't have a postage stamp banner?
Yeah. They will when... New York City plays Seattle in the Champions League semifinals. I imagine that will get brought over from Yankee Stadium.
It is portable.
Yeah, it does seem to be.
I will say, I think I saw some pictures, and did it look like it was raining? So maybe that was a factor in why people
were
there?
It looked like a nice day to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I'm the Red Bulls, I'm a bit concerned by that because this is a big game. I think the debate on the website was, are they rivals? Yes. Yes, they are rivals. And it came down to the aforementioned toe-poke goal by Darlington Nagbe. Yes. Murph, take me through that, because it took until the 95th minute to get this goal. And yet, when it happened so fast, end-to-end. Take me through that.
Yeah, it was a good goal. I mean, you know, not a Lucas De Leon finish or anything, but the build-up to it was a nice play. I think it started with... Started like Matan.
I could big A or James or new guy. He stripped Fletcher.
That's what it was.
The ball.
Yeah. And then to Matan,
made a nice run with the ball.
Yeah, found Giassi, who we'll get to where Giassi didn't do well later. But you know, I thought it was a nice move by him. Turn, play it wide. That was to Diaz. Diaz did well to hold up play, so Marrera could overlap. Jordan Angeli on Twitter today. Put out how just exhausted he looked after making what was like an 80-yard run in the 94th minute or 95th minute of the game. Serve that ball in the box, see what happens. I thought, credit to Giassi again, he makes a run that pulls a defender away, giving Nagbe kind of that space to get the shot off. And it was what saved first, and then he was able to tap in the rebound or deflect.
I think Matan gets a foot on it,
okay.
And the defender, it bounces off him, and Nagbe's just there to clean it up because no one's on the back post after that.
Well, there's grabbing a point that you will look back on in October, maybe. You go, that was the difference between this playoff position, that playoff position, in or out.
Yeah.
Those are important points to get.
Well, and you talk about, you know, potential division, conference, rival, whatever you want to call it in MLS. The Crew don't go to Red Bull Arena and come back with points a lot of times. And I think past Crew teams would have lost, you know, especially last year's team, would have just lost that game. You know, you played well enough probably to get the point. I think a draw was probably at least fair given the chances the Crew had. But you give up that late set-piece goal, not as late as the Crew, obviously, but a late set-piece goal. And I think Crew teams of the past might have crumpled a little bit there and, you know, lived to fight another day at home. This team was able to make that play and come away with a point that, like you said, Brian, could be really important later.
If you remember my joke from last week about that the one time I went to Red Bull Arena, it was a extra time tie by Rich Bulchin.
Right.
So obviously Darlington Nagbe is way better than Rich Bulchin, but,
whoa,
you know.
Hot take.
I know, hot take.
People are currently Googling Rich Bulchin.
I think, yeah, we'll get to that later.
Okay, that was good,
I'm having
actually
trouble remembering that one. Drew, I think you mentioned in your game grades, and it's a point of reference that we forget, the Crew, I think you were talking about Milos, the Crew have not given up a goal in the run of play yet this season.
No.
And that's pretty astounding through four games. So that's a positive. But the failure to mark up again on a corner kick that cost, this was a winnable game. The Crew were the better team, especially in the second half. They give up the dumb goal on the corner kick. What are we looking at as far as how to fix this?
Well, so on that corner kick, you see New York win the first ball. It's a contested first ball. It's not a really great shot, but it's right at room. And Jonathan's just looking at the ball and doesn't really keep track of Aaron Long. And Aaron Long crashes in for a second ball, just really disrupting Eloy Room, and he cannot get a hold on it. So that's kind of where that is. I think that's split second, Aaron Long gets free. You just need to be focused on those second balls.
And you mentioned Artur in your game grades having a good game, but he's another guy that was ball-watching on that play.
Yeah, that one was a little difficult. If he gets in there, maybe he's able to scrap a little bit, but that ball's pinballing by the time it gets out over to Tom Barlow. So who knows if he's able to get a foot on it. Nagby's right there. He kind of goes into the space where Nagbe and Room already are, so you put another body there. We'll see.
That goal, by the way, was originally given to...
Wasn't it Barlow?
No, it was initially on the broadcast and on the... I guess it's through Opta, but out to all the apps. It was given... I think it was to Aaron Long because he was involved in that. Then it was an own goal, which they said on the broadcast. And then last night, I guess, at some point, or maybe this morning, it was changed to Barlow. So three different scorers got credit for that at one point.
So I originally, when I was looking at FootMob, it said own goal.
Yeah,
and then I watched the replay, and I'm like, that's not really an own goal. It just bounced off of him, and there's nothing he could have done about it.
It was a strange goal.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
It was
just sort of like, get the ball. It's like, oh, no, I can't get the ball.
I would just rather Room go in there with a strong punch, even if it takes out Aaron Long.
Well, and what he'd done that earlier in the game. He'd come out a couple times in traffic, whether collecting it or punching it away. You know, I don't think of that as being an issue for him. So, you know, I'm not concerned about that part of set-piece defending, but I do think this is becoming a thing. I mean, as we mentioned, that's the only way that they've been scored on this year, and now it's, you're in the fourth game of the season. It's happened in three of them. So, yeah. I mean, I guess, as Caleb Porter pointed out after the games, you know, not giving up a goal in the run of play is better than having something you can continue to work on. You know, if you're just giving up goals, your defense is a problem. You know, now they can really look at, okay, we've got three, four, whatever it is, different examples here of why of giving up goals. What are we doing wrong? What do we need to change? Those type of things. And I think that can be a focus here over for the guys that are in town the next week or so, and then obviously going forward throughout the season.
Now, at this level, of course, you know, to the average fan, a corner kick, the ball coming into the area and the players moving this way and that way looks like chaos. But to the Red Bulls, they work on, I'm sure, our tendencies to give up goals and corner kicks. They've worked on this in the training ground. And I think one thing that they discovered is you just have to create a lot of chaos and misdirection. And we have trouble following the chaos and misdirection. We're standing still. They're moving. So, yeah, it is something that hopefully we can fix on the training ground. I trust these guys to do that. But it's a problem, but not as big a problem. And I know what your answer is going to be. What do we know about Lucas? Of course, your breath is taken away. Your heart stops when you see your best player in obvious pain. I like that he didn't go to the locker room. I was looking for anything. He was on the bench with ice on the side of his knee, but it could be anything. Do we know him?
So, I mean, obviously, you saw what happened. He goes down midfield after getting collided into by, I think it was Aaron Long.
Yeah.
And you know, Lucas goes down a lot. I mean, he's not Pedro in terms of diving, but he stays on the ground when he goes down. So at first, it didn't seem like a major concern. Then it was, he was down for a while, goes off, comes back on. And then it was funny, like, the camera is panning, and you just, like, bottom corner of the screen, you saw him just, like, sit down.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not good.
Yeah.
And I was watching the game with a few people, including Drew, actually, at another bar, and I just looked at all of them, and I was like, well, season's been fun. See you guys.
And then we proceeded to score.
Yeah, then they scored. So the season is not done, as it turns out. From my understanding, Lucas got up when they scored, came off the bench, was moving around. He was in good spirits from people I talked to that were in the locker room. So, you know, I think that that's a positive sign. Now, you know, I haven't heard anything about MRIs or anything like that, so this is not me reporting that he's okay. You know, I tore my ACL playing soccer and walked out of the play. I mean, I was in a lot of pain, but I was able to walk out. So, yeah, I think you are cautiously optimistic that this isn't anything too serious, given he's celebrating off the bench. He's in the locker room in good spirits with the guys. You know, if he knew his season was done or even feared that, I think the mood's probably a little bit different, even though you just pulled off this tie late in the game. But, you know, Frankie Hadick played a half a soccer on a torn ACL for the Crew one time, and it was a torn ACL. So, you know, you don't know until you get in there and they look at it. And I imagine we'll hear something probably tomorrow, if I had to guess.
Well, one thing, Drew, is that Armenia has already announced that Lucas will not travel and play in a couple of friendlies that they have planned for the international window. I don't know if that tells us anything at all, but as far as they're concerned, they're not going to put him on a plane and fly him over there.
Well, I mean, it's also good for the club. The club wants to make sure they're evaluating him, so
yeah.
I'm glad he's staying. I hope it's nothing serious. I hope he could have played, but I would rather see him on the pitch April 2nd. So
I didn't even realize at the time that they played down a man because they were out of subs, or sub windows at least.
Right.
So they scored that goal with 10 men on
yeah.
the field. I mean, that actually
isn't that
makes,
ironic?
Yeah, that makes, which is even more interesting because the two away Crew games so far this year, there have been late goals scored by the team to get ties by the team with fewer men on the field, which is just, you know, interesting.
It's been kind of strange so far. I may mention, Drew, of your game grades. I think the one that stood out to me the most was because I didn't really notice it, but when I read what you had to say, I was encouraged, and that's Milos. You gave him a very solid grade. Why? What did he do right that we haven't seen in previous games?
So he had a team high, I believe, 6 clearances and 8 aerial duels. He was winning the ball. And what I really liked in this game that he didn't do in at least the first game, when he was clearing the ball in the first couple games, it wasn't really making it very far. But in this game, he was very decisive, played the ball out. It led to a couple corners, but I would rather see that than giving them second chance balls in the box. So that was encouraging. He stayed home when Mensah kind of pushed up. I mean, the defense as a whole really shut down the Red Bulls, and the Red Bulls are very good in transition, and they did not give them any opportunity. They were pretty good at playing the ball out of the back. There was no real turnovers between the center backs, which we have seen in a year past. Mm-hmm. So that was encouraging against a pretty good pressing team.
I was pretty hard, I guess I'd say, on Milos last week when we were discussing, you know, kind of his adjustment to the league. And we talked about, for people who didn't listen, and you two who weren't here, that, you know, you have to adjust. Jonathan took plenty of time to adjust. He's turned out to be just fine. We know that. But, you know, just the first game I thought he was good without a lot testing him, and then the last two I wasn't. I thought he was much better in this game. This looked like the player that I expected to see from the crew. As much as I said sort of not negative, but, you know, was down on him last week, I think this performance was significantly better against, as you mentioned, Drew, a team that can cause you problems.
Mm-hmm. Very, very positive grade for Pedro once again, too.
Yeah.
What are you seeing? And I know it seems like we've talked about Pedro every week this season because, you know, of where he's playing now, and we're looking to see how things are working for him. And so far, they seem to be working very well.
Yeah, teams are really attacking him also. I think New York attacked down his flank 45% of the time, actually. So part of it's he's just getting more looks at being a defender. And
that includes the middle of the field, right? Like, well, so it's not half.
No. It includes the middle
right.
and the left
just
flank.
Just for clarity. You know, yeah. If you think it's just split down the middle, you're like, well, then the other side, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so it's divided into thirds.
Yeah.
And so he just gets a lot more looks. Lewis Morgan has a hat trick this year. He really shut him down. He had one, I think, good cross, but he was blocking crosses. He won, I think, 7 tackles, which was a team high. And, you know, he played a couple good balls forward. They weren't advancing the wingbacks this week as much as they had in previous games.
And that was a tactical thing, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Morea has been so dangerous bombing forward, and we really didn't see any of that. Until the last play, yes. Yeah. But for the most part, he was playing a very conservative game, and I think that was just an artifact of who we were playing and the fact that we were on the road. And just wanting to make sure that we had things buttoned down, which we really did. You know? So there's a lot of positives here. I have confidence they're going to fix this corner kick problem. It'll be interesting at the end of the season to see if possibly we can catch up and somehow have more corner kick goals than corner kicks given up. It's not looking real good so far.
It hasn't been a great start.
But that's the thing that I get frustrated about every year. That our corner kick game offensively is just not good.
Well, since Pipa, really, I haven't really seen the services connecting since we've had Pipa in there, and I've been disappointed.
He doesn't have anything to do right now.
Yeah, well, he's going to be there.
he'll be at the next crew game. They're honoring him.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think that's just not Lucas's game.
That's fine.
I think, yeah, I mean, he does a lot of great things, and, you know, some of those, you know, obviously his shots from dead balls, but I just don't think his dead ball free kick placement is, you know, and that including corner kicks, is great. I think it's been better this year. Like, they've gotten it into the mix more, but sometimes it doesn't beat the first guy or it's too far, you know, and I don't know. Pedro is a guy who could also take them, but other than that, they don't really have an obvious guy, I think.
But they have Pedro kind of out there as the wing back, as one of the last guys. And his long shot's pretty good, so if he gets one of those rebound shots, that's where I'd rather see Pedro.
Mm-hmm. I'm always curious about why the crew doesn't cover the back post hardly at all. Like, and this has been an issue for even beyond Caleb. This has always been an issue, is that there's nobody for rebounds on the back post at all. And there's almost always no defenders back there. So that's always struck me as curious.
That seems to be a thing kind of in the game now, though, that tactically it's changed over the years as to how corner kicks are set up, how they're defended. I don't know.
I don't know.
Sure, it has something to do with or something.
Right, but it almost feels like just put somebody back there to get a ball that goes through the entire box, and you have somebody back there that can literally just tap it in almost every time.
All right, so we're going to have this debate every week, I'm sure, unless they trade Jossie, which is ridiculous. I'm not even going to entertain that.
Yeah, we talked about it at the end of the podcast last week.
That's ridiculous.
It literally came on, or like popped up on Twitter as we were wrapping up, so we took a few minutes to...
That's just some clickbait there. If they trade him, that's obviously insane. They're not going to trade him. So we're going to have this debate every week. It was, again, not Zardes in the starting 11. I guess every week I'm just, okay, this week they're going to start him. And again, they did not. But I think after what we saw on Sunday, maybe it's time for a switch. I don't know. What do you think? Yeah, break down the game grades for the two.
Yeah, so they both actually got fairly low grades. Miguel Berry had a 5, and Zardes had a 5.5. Zardes actually would have scored a lot higher if he would have converted one of those chances.
Yeah.
Because the offense played a lot better when he came on, and that might have been a tactical shift. Porter kind of downplayed some of the questions about those two at the end of the game. But Zardes is just able to find the game better. He had more touches in 30 minutes than Miguel Berry had in 60 minutes.
It's experience.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of it, you know?
Yeah, and Berry, it seems like, is better when he's on the run and getting the ball that way, or Zardes is better at the hold-up play and flicking the ball on and maybe even being a relief for the pressure for the defense. And I actually expected him to start this game just for the matchup against the Red Bull, but we're winning or not losing on the road with this lineup. So,
with Lucas maybe missing some time, is this where maybe we switch things up and put them both on the field at the same time?
Yeah, potentially. And that's one of the things in our What We Learn piece, which I'm currently finishing up as we do this, but we'll be out before this podcast is up.
You're amazing.
Drinking
beer.
There's not enough hours in the day.
Write an article.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's if Lucas does miss time, that's when you could start seeing what Caleb talked about in the preseason of potential. Whether it's two forwards, whether it's we saw in the first game in Charleston where they played Lucas kind of as a wider attacking midfielder, and I think it was Zawatski was also out there. So they, you know, it wasn't the standard 4-2-3-1 look. I think that could certainly be a thing. With the Giassi Berry debate, I can understand why Caleb has started Miguel. He said it. He felt like he earned the right to start with the way he played at the end of the year, which, fine, I understand that. I know that he's comfortable with this lineup because they haven't lost. And so, again, tough to argue. But... yeah, like Drew said, I just think Giassi right now, at this stage in your careers, offers more starting a game, whereas Miguel coming off the bench, you know, you saw it last year, kind of the energy he brings when you need a goal. Now, there is an argument, like the Vancouver game, you're up 4-0, or whatever it was when Giassi came on, you're up. You know, he's a guy who can help you kill off a game. So, I mean, if you can get the lead and then bring Giassi on as almost a defensive forward... you know, there's something to that as well, but Miguel's movement is not as good off the ball. You know, I mentioned Giassi's run that pulled the defender for Nagby's goal. I think Miguel, you know, he also just stays up top, and that may be something that tactically they like. You know, Giassi roams all over the field. I think even if you told him not to, he's probably going to do it because that's just what he... I mean, the guy was a right back for a little bit in MLS, but... I think right now they could just use Giassi. I mean, each forward has one goal. Giassi's done it in significantly fewer minutes. He's also, you know, you think about the chances he has missed, which you'd like to come to convert. The Toronto one wasn't as bad as obviously the one this past game. But, I mean, Miguel hasn't had much of anything since early at San Jose, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
and even the goal he scored was kind of a fluky goal.
And I don't want it to sound like we're pooping on Miguel Berry here.
Not at all. You know? I'm encouraged by what we've seen the last year. You know? I'm not complaining. I'm just, what's the best? And I think it's probably going to change from week to week. what we think is the best course and what he's going to do. And maybe he's just going to, as long as we're getting results, I'm just going to keep doing it this way. You know, it's hard, as you say, it's hard to argue.
Sure.
It's not like we're on a four-game losing streak.
And I think, too, and we talked about this last week, you know, if Giassi's not complaining and there's been no accounts that he's unhappy with the situation, and like you just said, they're getting results, you know, I mean, that's not a bad guy to bring off the bench.
No.
Just in general, you know, even if he is a little bit different than the normal, you know, I think back to like Jeff Cunningham back in the day when they would bring him off the bench, he had just had speed, you know, and he was a good player as well. But
or Dominic Aduro.
What'd you say?
Or Dominic Aduro.
Yeah, someone like that you can bring on just to run at a tired defense. That's not Giassi. I mean,
that's Luis Diaz.
Yeah, that's
right.
Diaz.
But
yeah.
So Miguel is more that guy, I feel like, that get him the ball, let him run a little bit, or let him run into space behind the defense, you know, things like that.
Sure, when we have a lead and your opponent is drawn up the field, that's where, yeah, exactly. Miguel is going to go for the dagger. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm wondering if maybe when the game is closely contested, it's a tie, we're behind, we're playing a tough team. I don't know. I suppose they'll figure it out.
I really hope you keep a hold of Zardes, because I really think this team is going to make the playoffs or we're playing well, and that's a guy I'd like to see in the playoffs, Zardes.
The one thing I will say is that whichever one of these guys ends up playing more minutes needs to be scoring goals. I mean, right now you've scored, what, 10 goals as a team. Two of them are from your forwards. And that's great if you can get that kind of production. But if your forwards are scoring two, now you're a real dangerous team. And not that I expect either guy to be 20, 25 goal scorers, but Miguel needs to be more dangerous, and Giassi needs to finish some of these chances that he's had. And, you know, that's always been the talk on Giassi is, you know, his touch and then finishing some of those easier chances. And he's obviously been better about it the last couple of years. But
And while that's very true, we have talked about how we need to see production from other spots than just the forwards. Now, you're hoping that balances out. But, you know, you're getting scoring from Derek Etienne. You're not getting scoring from the right side yet, but I think
Diaz has a goal.
Diaz has one. And he, I would say he couldn't have missed that, but he definitely could have.
He definitely missed another one.
Yeah. See, well, you bring up a very good point.
Him,
but they provide happen. But they provide still a danger element that you kind of want, and eventually more teams are going to start flocking to the sides to stop those guys, and that's going to open some more space for your forwards or somebody like Darlington Nagby or Artur, who's more comfortable now
or
taking
Lucas.
Shots. Or to Lucas. Yeah, I mean, Lucas has four goals this year.
Yeah. Two assists.
So,
or the way Mensa likes to rip shots every once in a while, why not him?
That was amazing. I really wish he would have scored.
I also hope, for Derek Etienne's sake, that this breakaway not scoring that doesn't get in his head.
Doesn't give him the yips.
It was a rough week for him.
It was very.
It was,
yeah. If you didn't hear, I'm sure Crew fans are well aware at this point, but he was robbed on High Street in the Short North. He was okay, obviously, played in the game.
At like 10:30 at night. It sounded like it was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
No, really unfortunate. Obviously, the details of that are still a little fuzzy, but, you know, unfortunate for him. And then, obviously, from a on-field perspective, he has that breakaway, and you got to put that. That's the one. Even the Zardes one, like, Zardes should score, but you get a breakaway like that, especially a guy who's confident, has been playing well. I just hope it doesn't cause him a drop in confidence after. I don't think it will.
Well, he's going to score because we're saying he won't, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Right. He's going to learn to chip the goalie when he has that much space.
It was like there were ghosts on the field or something.
Oh, that's right.
Some of those goals that we left begging, it was like there's a ghost out there or something. There's something weird going on.
And I think, and again, this is in the What We Learn piece, I think this is kind of more what Caleb expected when he was talking about a team in preseason that's going to grind out results a little bit more. Like, he doesn't want to take away from the offense as it is, but other than Zellerayan, you know, they're not paying big money for any of these guys. They don't have a striker who's, you know, Zardes is a DP, but he could easily be bought down. You know, there's no Zlatan. There's no Bradley Wright Phillips back in his day. You know, name your MLS top striker. So, like, I think he understands that this offense isn't going to score 3-4 goals a game, which they could have done if you finished those chances.
Well, our XG was 3. Yeah, like we should have scored 3.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Is like these guys aren't elite finishers, so you're going to have misses like that. But if you have a really good defense, which is what the Crew have shown thus far outside of the set pieces, then you can kind of grind out those results, especially on the road. And I think that's kind of what Caleb was referring to, and not saying that the offense is going to be bad. They'll create chances. It's just a matter of finishing those chances, and I think he's realistic about there's going to be some of those misses because you're getting what you pay for. If Giassi Zardes finishes everything in front of goal, he's playing in Europe for most of his career.
It does make you curious, though, of what is the approach, all things considered, in the first four games. Four games, right?
Yeah.
In the first four games, as we go get closer into that summer, to that summer window, what is going to be the team's approach in that window? That may be a question just for thought.
I hate to put it out there, but until we answer the Lucas question and how injured is he? Is he injured at all? Or is he fine? Until we answer that question, I don't think we can answer any other questions. Not that you can replace him necessarily, but it's the elephant in the room. And I don't even – I'm just going to wait. Because we'll just find out, as you say, we'll get some clarity tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
I think Matan actually plays in his stead if he's out for an extended amount of time. But I agree, we're going to have to wait and see. But to that point, we really can't go out and sign another DP unless
I'm just talking about looking for bodies to sort of mix and match.
And I think that attacking mid spot, no one's replacing Lucas. But yeah. Matan can play there. We've seen a little bit of that. Darlington Nagbe can obviously move up, and you know, you have Aiden Morris who could step into the central midfield. You've got some younger guys who can play in there.
I don't want to see Pedro's moved because he's playing really
well. No, I don't think you can.
I don't think, you don't really have much of a choice.
While they like Will Sands, Will, not James, right?
Yeah, Will.
I've confused them on more than one occasion. Will Sands, you know, he's a young player who hasn't stepped on an MLS field yet. So I don't think you want to have to give that left back spot over. Now, if you get into a desperate situation, you need Pedro to fill in there, you know, I guess you can do that.
And maybe that's where you find the extra body during the summer is, a left back or something. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. Sure. I'm just hoping for the best. Any other injury news of note, either positive or negative? We're kind of waiting for Josh Williams to be fit, for instance.
I would imagine Josh Williams is back after the international break. I think he was in training the last couple weeks, you know, ramping it up, not with the full team, but back out there. And he wasn't the first couple weeks of the season. So, I mean, let's remember, Josh Williams is no spring chicken anymore. So these things take a little bit longer to heal.
Well, if Milos, he's going to be playing with Australia. I don't know. Are these home games for them?
His second game is actually in Saudi Arabia.
Say, regardless, the travel is just brutal. He's going to need some time off. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate him playing April 2nd. Somebody else is going to have to step in.
Anibaba is on the roster still. He's a MLS veteran, and he looked decent preseason. I mean, that's also preseason, but he has played for a lot of MLS teams. He has started for a few of them, and he played for Nashville last year, who has one of the better defensive teams.
But he didn't play very much for Nashville.
I think he played against the Crew last year.
He did. I think he did play against the Crew, but I think he only started like 3 games and played in like 10 or something. I'd have to look at the numbers.
Well, it'd be a great time for Josh to be fit and able to give us at least, you know, an hour. Yeah. You know, that would be nice.
I think if it's his assignment, if the assignment is just stay back, don't bomb forward. I mean, Josh likes to come forward too a little bit, but if the assignment is stay back and don't bomb forward, not even on corner kicks, I think you could be okay.
What about this wrinkle? Anibaba plays because he's familiar with Nashville. He played on
that's
last
very
year.
Possible.
That's certainly.
But we've also banked on Caleb starting Giassi for experience, and that hasn't happened so far.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, but if you get to the situation where Degnik is not available, or just you don't want to risk him coming off of travel, Josh is still coming back. That's a good, you know, that's certainly a factor I think in Caleb's head when deciding what to do.
Anybody else getting called up for international duty that I'm not thinking of? Zardes is not on the national team list for USA. Is Diaz going to play with Costa Rica. He's not on the team.
Was Yeboah called in?
I saw on Twitter that Yeboah was called in, but it wasn't from an official source. I haven't really seen anything official with that, but he might be the only other one.
But let's be excited that there's an international break that the Crew are taking part in and not having to play through Degnik being gone. And
since he's playing.
Right. I mean, teams are playing. It's not like the league is actually recognizing the international break to its fullest.
I think it was volunteer. I think you had to volunteer for it.
Usually, at least in the past, the way they've done it is you can kind of tell the league when you would like, because it's either you take the international break or you have match congestion at other points. I remember Berhalter talking about this at one point where they actually decided to play through the international break even if there were a couple guys that might have been gone because they didn't want something later in the year. And, you know, you'd rather risk it early. And, you know, also, let's be honest, the Crew don't always lose guys. I mean, if it's not Giassi, Degnik wasn't there then, things like that. So there is some help for the Crew there.
Well, I think it's good to have the break just because of Lucas, and that's a good enough reason. So, yeah. Cincinnati, who are they playing?
Charlotte. So, it's a real buzzer beater of a game right there.
There you go. Hey, Charlotte beat New England this weekend 3-1, so they got their first ever win. That's something. All right. Well, we don't have a game
really
to preview
happy about that
because we're not playing Nashville until April 2nd. So we'll do that next week. So should we touch? We touched on the NTN robbery. We don't need to go into that more because we that's all we know. Do we want to talk about the fact that the owners of the Columbus Crew are employing Deshaun Watson now? Does that affect? I was not happy about it, and I'm not happy about it.
True, are you a Browns fan?
I am a Browns fan.
So. Well, okay, I'm not a Browns fan, but I'm mad that this baggage is leaking into my soccer team. But as a Browns fan, how do you feel about this?
I feel pretty conflicted. I mean, I'm going to watch the Browns regardless, just like I'm going to watch the World Cup kind of regardless, but I am not super excited to see Deshaun Watson, even if he's suspended or whatever. I just was not really excited to see the Haslams pay Crew Stadium money for a guy who has, 22 civil lawsuits against him for sexual misconduct.
It doesn't make any sense.
He's a good player, but
Is he that good, though? I think perhaps he's, one of those garbage time guys.
I mean, not to get too far into the weeds on the NFL, because I don't think that's what people are listening to.
I know.
But
I had to put it out there.
I think he is a really – I think he significantly improves the Browns. I think it's interesting, and this is very much a morality thing that we're talking about here, right? And so, Deshaun Watson was going to some team. He was going to play in the NFL whenever he's not suspended. So the Browns are aware of that fact. Now, that doesn't make it any better if you think that, that's your team and you don't like that. The other thing I will say, and this is the thing I found interesting on social media this week, was that the Browns also have Kareem Hunt on the roster, who was on video kicking a woman.
Yeah.
And while there was some backlash from Browns fans when he was signed, when he was cut by the Kansas City Chiefs after that incident, I didn't see many Browns fans saying they weren't going to watch the team anymore. And I'm not saying the two things
maybe
are.
Maybe it's quarterback versus running back. I don't know, because you bring up a great point. The backlash is certainly way bigger than
it was for him. I think definitely the fact that you just signed a quarterback that everyone knows. The casual Browns fan is aware of who Deshaun Watson is. And the casual Browns fan is aware of what happened, 30 months ago or whatever it was. I don't think the casual Browns fan knows that Kareem Hunt did that. And, does that make it any better? I don't know. So I think that there's a lot of dudes in the NFL who have done crummy things, to put it lightly, or come up from bad neighborhoods and never kind of get out of that. I mean, there's been a few Buckeyes that have gotten to the NFL that I covered and thought, that's a solid dude. And then, they're caught with guns doing something stupid. And not to compare the two things, but I'm just saying. And so I think when you cheer for a team in the NFL, I think there's a part of that that's unfortunately sort of baked in. Now, Deshaun Watson and the accusations are worse than having a gun when you're not supposed to, or, you know.
Or taking a woman.
Possible. I mean, I think you can judge that either way. I mean, that's a personal decision on how you feel about that. But I just, you know, I fully, if you want to not watch the Browns anymore, if you're a Browns fan, I don't have any issue with that.
For our purposes here, I'm just like, really, you know, we have so many positive feelings about the stadium, about the team. Dee Haslam has been a great ambassador and really ingratiating herself to the city. And she was intimately involved in the meetings with Deshaun Watson.
Right.
I guess from a crew standpoint, I'm just really disappointed. Nothing I can do about it. I just wanted to put it out there.
Well, I think the league, we'll see how the league responds to Merritt Paulson and the Timbers and how seriously they'll take offenses about, you know, these moral issues. So they might have to be on their toes with any of the crew players that come in and maybe have allegations.
Fortunately, we got a roster, by all accounts, the Columbus Crew, just nothing but solid dudes.
Well, and I think that's a really good point.
That's something to be proud of.
You know, let's separate the – yes, it's the same ownership group, but there's also different people running.
Right.
You know, you got Tim Bezbachenko and the people that work with him handling this, and, you know, I believe that they are – moral compass pointed similar ways to most people that support the team. So, you know, now, you know, I think you also have to recognize that there's a lot of pressure on the Browns to win. Now, does that make this right? Probably not, but the crew have been good. You know, let's be honest here.
And it's MLS down here and NFL up here. Let's be honest.
NFL is making the money.
Right.
Yeah.
100%. So, you know, I get that. And I also think that soccer culture in this country and other countries have problems with racism and sexism and so forth. But here in America, I think the people that are most passionate about the game are also very aware of these issues. And they're dialed in differently to their team than your average NFL fan is with their team. And I think that soccer fans in this country demand more of the players in terms of how they conduct themselves. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I think that's definitely fair to say. And I think the difference when comparing that to the situation in Portland is that the situation in Portland happened in the Portland MLS and NWSL soccer operation. Not Merritt Paulson's other team, you know, if he owns another team. So that's a different thing. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not a Browns fan. I am a Bengals fan, which all of a sudden, gosh, we're doing great things. I'm not even sure what to do with myself. But
welcome.
You have every right to be disappointed. Even though I'm not a Brown fan,
agreed, very much.
I am very disappointed in the fact that the Browns did that. But also, it's the Browns. And how it's and I understand the ownership has to approve dishing out that kind of money to a person with that record and with those allegations that are there, and that's incredibly disappointing, incredibly disturbing. On the other hand, if this was somebody in MLS, they would have been kicked out fairly immediately because MLS. Well, we hope that MLS deals with those things better, but we know that the NFL doesn't. I mean, look at Ray Rice, look at Kareem Hunt, look at many others. So
Ben Roethlisberger.
This does not, I want to clarify, this does not justify or make better the signing of Deshaun Watson. No. People are disappointed, but they are, as Murph said earlier, they are two separate people are handling those businesses, the operations, the direct operation of those businesses in those two different front offices.
All right, dudes, I don't want to end this on a bummer, and it's too early to preview the Nashville game, but as a teaser, and you mentioned this earlier, Murph, that on April 2nd, we will pay homage to PIPA. Do you have any sense of what's planned for that day?
I don't think they've said in terms of details what will happen. You know, I imagine it's similar to what they've done with some of the other guys. You know, a halftime, maybe pregame.
Brian McBride.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor?
Yeah. I mean, I just could certainly see something like that. I think they would have to alter the stupid rules for the
Ring
of Honor.
I don't think he qualifies for the Ring of Honor.
But I think that
championship.
I think that those rules.
What?
Higuain.
You need a.
He doesn't qualify. Why?
Because I think you have to have a championship.
There's a list of criteria that you have to. Brian McBride doesn't have a championship,
but he has a what? Open Cup.
I guess he has
a trophy.
But I think there's a few things. Like an MVP, I would have to look back at the list of all the things.
Isn't it enough that we love him?
Yeah, well, so I think their whole thought
process... I don't disagree. I'm not saying he's not deserving.
I think their thought process was that they didn't want just every crew player who was beloved to be fans to demand they get put in the Ring of Honor. So they made this criteria, and I think that it's probably the wrong approach. Just have some sense as a front office on who you're going to do it with and realize that people aren't, you know, people are going to say what they want on Twitter about their favorite player. I think Pipa certainly deserves that. He played in an MLS Cup, you know, in a one-off type of game like that. You know, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it could have easily flipped the other way.
The ball could have gone out of bounds by 5 yards. Yeah. You know, anything could happen.
So, yeah, he deserves to be in it. I don't know if they'll do it this week, but it is cool that they're next week, but okay. It is cool that they're honoring him.
In order to be eligible as a player, an individual must have been retired as a player for at least 1 year, played at least 4 seasons for the crew.
Has people been retired for a full year?
No.
From the team, I think.
Well, he's going to retire officially.
Oh, right.
I
thought there was more.
So maybe they'll wait a year and put him in then.
So here's the other question. If Zellerian is out, can we just put the number 10 on him? He's on a one-day contract, right?
He is a part of the team. That's true.
He could go back and put 33 on. That's how he started.
I think somebody has 33.
Yeah, well.
I don't think we're going to see him. If we see him, we're in trouble. Just leave it at that. All right. Anything else, fellas, or are we done?
Do you want to preview the international stuff?
USA. Imagine they're playing in Azteca.
Yes, Azteca
on Thursday.
On Sunday,
Mexico.
Sorry, I just found the rest of the requirements.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Appeared in at least 50 or more league matches for the club. Won Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, MLS Cup, Supporter Shield, or CONCACAF Champions League title.
Supporter Shield, right?
No. He did not win a Supporter Shield.
No Supporter Shield.
No.
Oh. 08 and 09 were the support and 2004 were the Supporter Shield.
Well, I don't know who came up with that
criteria. He won an Eastern Conference title.
That is true.
It's good enough. Just put him in. I want to look at his name when I go in the stadium.
I wanted to say Pipa.
Yeah, also. Exactly.
Jake Morris is wearing 33.
Pipa chips.
He's injured right now. USA and Mexico on what, Thursday night, late night at 10 o'clock? Yeah. Appreciate that. That's kind of late. I know. It's not all about me. This is...
What, do you have to do something in the morning the next day?
A lot of pressure on Mexico, you know?
They've not had a good year.
No. I mean, they're right there, but they have not had a good year. I would say there's more pressure on them, but they're at home. That's a hard place to play.
And we have a lot of injuries. Weston McKennie out. He broke his foot.
Yeah.
Aaronson is out
today. Yeah, 12men tweeted that out today.
There's a couple other guys that are not. I mean, it is not the full strength lineup. I think the good thing.
Serginho Dest also out.
He's out, yeah. I think the good thing is Christian Pulisic has played really well for Chelsea recently. He's got a couple goals scored in the Champions League.
Yeah, big goal in the Champions League the other day.
So, you know, you like that he's coming in form.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, in case people haven't paid attention, they need 3 points from these three games. So
and that's it.
Right. So a win.
So I've been way too worried about this.
Well, I mean,
a loss to Panama would be devastating.
Yeah, you lose to Panama at home, that would
Where's that game being played?
Orlando.
Okay.
I am fully confident that Greg Berhalter will go and win in Azteca for the first time in U.S. history at a World Cup qualifier.
Wow.
Four in a row.
Just because people seem to forget that he just continues to beat Mexico over and over again.
That's true.
Which has, like, caused U.S. managers to lose their jobs in the past.
Yeah.
So it just seems he continues to defy.
And oddly enough, hasn't caused a Mexico coach to lose his job yet.
If
it might be close.
Mexico loses to the United States, Tata Martino is under a lot of a lot because of pressure.
The wild card here is this great Canadian team that we've They're all good. Been waiting
Four
to,
points
to,
up in the group.
Yeah, to, waiting for them to fall by the wayside. My mom was born in Calgary, so, you know, kind of like a little heart. I'm half Canadian. I love seeing this.
You've
I
got
think
a little
it's
maple
great
syrup
for CONCACAF. They haven't been in the World Cup since 1986. They have been in the wilderness. They've been in the middle of Manitoba or Saskatchewan for a long time, out in a wheat field somewhere in Saskatchewan. And it is mind-blowing how good they are. And they're legit.
Yeah.
Oh, they
yeah.
have players.
Well, and that's the thing, too, when, you know, the U.S. lost up in Canada, you saw, again, the Greg Berhalter thing, a lot of just very negative. And even when they've played close games, tied them recently, things like that, it's like, this is a real team. I mean, yeah. this isn't Canada of old where if you lose to them, there really should be some conversation about what you're doing. I mean, they've got international players, you know, players playing in different leagues across the world. Even the guys that are playing in MLS are guys that you have heard of. You know, it's not like guys that are coming off the bench anymore and things like that. I mean, and I think we've talked about this on the podcast in the past, but I think the one kind of unintended consequence of MLS is, yes, it raised the United States because you had your own professional soccer league, but over the last 10-ish years, you've gotten other of the CONCACAF teams starting to have their guys play in MLS, mm-hmm. and Canada being one of them, and so that's raised the level of CONCACAF in general, mm-hmm. and obviously the U.S. has had players move overseas and whatnot, but this isn't a two-country league or you know anymore. It's there are some real teams. I mean, you look at what Panama's done.
Yeah.
You know, they sit, what is it, fourth in the group? You know, they're 4 points behind the U.S. and Mexico, but, like, Panama wasn't doing that before. You know, mm-hmm. you rolled over Panama. Like, that was what you did.
Interesting for Canada, Alphonso Davies still out, and Tayshaun Buchanan is listed as a forward, not a right back.
Wasn't he an attacking player originally when he came into the league?
He was drafted.
Like a
yeah.
winger, right?
And yeah.
He's well, Pedro Santos did.
Well, so Jake Morris is right. a winger. Yeah. Then you know, yeah. a lot of those college guys, if you're a winger, you convert to a fullback. That's just what
it's
they
like
do.
Like Giassi in L.A.
So he was like a striker, yeah, and then a right back, and then
kidding.
A striker.
Yeah, so it'll be – I mean, this is a huge – you said it, Brian. I mean, there is a chance – it's small, but there's a chance that we get through Wednesday and we're in the same place we were in the last World Cup of just how is the U.S. not sitting there? I don't think it'll happen, but
no.
Where's the Costa Rica game being played?
It's in Costa Rica. San
okay,
Jose.
And that's a week from Wednesday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not as tough a place to play as going to Honduras, certainly. Well, that's rough.
I think Costa Rica has a very good record against us in home, but their players are like mid-30s at this point. Like, I think David Guzman, who played for the Crew
still,
a couple of years
yeah,
ago,
still
playing with
wow,
him.
Yeah.
I think he plays for Saprissa now,
yes,
actually.
Yes, he does. And plays a lot, actually. I've seen him multiple times in Champions League. It's crazy to me. This is a tangent, but just crazy to me that didn't work out. And obviously, the Caleb Porter factor in that season really made Crew fans not appreciate David Guzman because he did not play well for the Crew. But mm-hmm. he is a regular for Saprissa and has been good. And mm-hmm. just like, you know, I remember talking to Caleb about that signing, and it was like, all right, like, you're not going to use him. You hope you won't need to use him a ton, but he's a guy who can still do some things, and obviously did not. But,
the interesting thing for the U.S., though, is the forward situation seems like a revolving door, but they are bringing in Jesus Ferreira, who scored a hat trick. I think it was Saturday night.
Yep.
So that's maybe a good sign. Jordan Pefolk is starting to get some time. He got called up. Everybody's been calling for that. So we'll see what happens with those forwards.
Well, I think we sink or swim in the next three games with Pulisic. If he can keep his form, I mean, and he looked good. I watched Chelsea last week in the Champions League. It was a great goal. If he's in form, I think everybody else – rising tide raises all ships.
And Drew, you mentioned McKinney being out, and obviously he's been their best central midfielder, but that's actually a position that they've developed some quality depth in.
Yeah.
So there's guys that can step in. I mean, I have always been a fan of Tyler Adams.
Musa.
Yes, has played really well in there. Different players than McKinney, but
Yeah, and so, like, there, we've seen Adams out a few times, and that's where we've seen Kellen Acosta. I just am not quite sure who plays for Weston McKennie, as he's been, like, the one constant, it feels like. He hasn't been injured up until now, and he's been pretty hot in Europe also. Juventus is his best player, it seems.
Yeah, he's been really good.
All right, well, why don't we wind things up here? I think we've covered everything we can cover.
You would predict the non-existent game this weekend?
Oh, speaking of non-existent game, did you see the email from the crew and it said, crew takes on bye week? And I'm like, really?
Hey, is this crew what we're doing? Playing.
I like this. I like this.
I think crew two.
Crew two starts.
March 24th.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's what I was going to bring up. Did you see that in that league, there will be no ties? Penalty kicks.
Yes, they will.
Will they do the run-up penalty kick? That's what I want.
I don't believe
no,
so.
No, I don't think so. Is this an experience? Yeah, FIFA's never going to allow MLS to
They could do it. I don't think that's... You've established yourself enough as a league that to change soccer...
Don't do a countdown clock like college.
It's dumb. I'm old enough to remember the run-up.
I am not, actually.
It was silly. It was gimmicky. It's fine for hockey, but not for the beautiful game.
I love watching
highlights.
Get it
done in 90 minutes. When there's something on the line, then we go to extra time and so forth and so on. But, you know, I don't like it.
Is it straight to PKs? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I guess that's what they're doing.
No,
and the first game is when? In May, right?
No, March 24th.
March 20th, yeah.
It's
the first Crew 2 game is coming up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it wasn't until May.
They don't play at home until April.
Oh,
okay.
But, yeah. And they will have one game at lower.com field after, I believe it's the LAFC game. Like an early afternoon crew kickoff or mid-afternoon.
Right. So, I think it's against LAFC.
So we can buy tickets? Can we
the ticket information will come out this week.
All right. Can we buy beer as well? Enjoy a malted grain beverage?
I would assume. I will be very interested. Sam, Patrick, and I in our group message were talking about this, and maybe fans can weigh in. Like, I've seen a good amount of buzz. Like, when we've done a good job of covering it thus far, and Derek Smith for us will be the main guy covering that. But so there's been a good amount of interest. I'm interested then to see if this carries over, you know, if people go to the games consistently.
When are they being played, generally?
A lot of them are Friday.
Oh, I like that.
There's some Saturday afternoons.
There are some Saturdays.
It's also free online, too, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
The streams are free online.
Through the Crew's website.
So, I would like to, and it's at the old stadium, right?
Except for the one. So I'll be interested to see just like what the following, you know. Obviously, I don't expect to sell out historic Crew Stadium for a Crew 2 game, but people do seem to be interested, which is not what I expect. You know, I thought there'd be a little bit of buzz, but, you know, we'll see. You know, obviously, you're not buying season tickets. I don't think they're offering that, but we'll see.
There is a second game in September that is, like, I think the Crew game is 2 hours before the Crew 2 game in two separate stadiums. So there might be something there where that one either the time gets changed or the game gets moved.
Rolling a food truck and a beer wagon, and I'm good to go.
Right, but you've got to get from, like...
I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, you know. But
I want to go.
I think they're pretty high on this Mo Farsi kid. I think he's Canadian, and I think he's, what, a fullback?
He is... You asked me too quickly. The story we wrote had two fullbacks and a forward. Keep talking, I'll find out.
All right. So, Crew 2.
Yes.
No, but they are really high on him. When we got the info about that group of signings, he was, like, highlighted as, this is a guy that, you know, to keep an eye on type of thing. Highly regarded in the Canadian youth.
Yeah.
And how old are the players?
He was playing in the Canadian
They're
Premier
no
League.
Older than what?
They can be any age.
Yeah.
You know, so...
But generally speaking,
they'll probably be mostly younger players because, you know, it's...
Think like college,
I think
Parente is
going to probably play for them.
I don't think Parente can. Here's the situation with Crew 2 is that they...
He's a fullback.
They can come... Like, players from the first team can come in on, like, rehab assignments, kind of like minor league. But players from Crew 2 can only go to the first team in emergency situations.
Or if they sign a first team contract.
But you could loan them down, couldn't you? Like, if you full loan?
So it's
not as clear-cut as you'd think it would be.
To send a guy down, there is paperwork, but it's not that difficult to do is what Corey Ray told us, the GM for Crew 2. But to send a guy up, you know, then you're dealing with MLS roster rules, mm-hmm. even though MLS owns the MLS Next Pro.
Right.
I imagine at some point they will make this much easier, you know, like it is in Europe where, you know, you can just – guy plays for the reserve team, guy plays for the first team. You know, you can go back. It's like the NBA with the two-way deal.
Yeah, I can easily see it going the NHL route where you have a two-way deal where, you know, you can go back and forth between the two teams. But as of right now, even like what, as Pat said, when Corey talked about it originally, he was like, it's not as defined as we'd like it to be, so it's going to be a work in progress. As
I also could see rules changing in this league.
There's no salary cap, right?
I don't believe so. But I also don't think any of these guys are demanding anything.
Like, I think there's league minimum.
We could bring over a big transfer from Europe and win the whole league.
Yeah.
He's not a DP because, you know, all the money's on the
crew. Right. We're paying him $5 million to be on Crew 2.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the ticket information next week. Let's wrap things up.
They do have, by the way, and I know there's a contingent of Crew fans who are also Forward Madison supporters mm-hmm. from a distance. And I know Forward Madison's team came here for a game and whatnot, but there are two former Forward Madison players that they signed. So mm-hmm. if you're one of those, I think GCG Bags really big into them. They have two former guys that played for them.
All right.
They signed three of the draft picks also from the MLS Super Draft this year.
Well, you're going to see more.
Two from this year and one Malou from last year.
I thought Malou was this year also.
Because he went back to Clemson for an additional year because of the way they did the seasons and whatnot. They have three former draft picks on there. I think it'll be exciting.
It'll be interesting.
You know, before these guys didn't have an opportunity, and that's the biggest thing for me. Whether they end up playing for the first team or not, you know, you get a chance. And previously, you came out of college, especially, or if you were a homegrown player who just couldn't quite break in, you know, you kind of get lost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see in Europe all the time with multiple leagues and things like that, you know, you look at a Jamie Vardy who worked his way all the way up, you know, just wasn't thought of very highly and ended up playing in the English Premier League for a team that won the league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Etienne himself was a homegrown for Red Bull, then went to, I think, Cincinnati, and then just kind of didn't work out and the Crew took another chance on him. So yeah, I think this gives these players like a chance to play through maybe some of the early years where they're making mistakes. So I'd like to see this happen.
And it's just fun to have it here, so we keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
On a nice Friday night.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't have to loan them to, you know, in a way, you know, Oklahoma or California or Florida or whatever.
San Diego. Right here.
Imagine Miguel Berry if there's a Crew 2. You probably see him a little quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, he's and you have control now, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the Crew 2 head coach is in line with Caleb in terms of the way they play and things like that. So it certainly makes way more sense. I'm glad they've done it. I hope the league, you know, I hope people go out to help support it a little bit. I'm not sure this is a moneymaker for MLS, but you want to make sure it doesn't fall apart like the Reserve League did back in the day, which was a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I also heard that you don't actually have rights to all the players in the second team if those rights are claimed by another team. So if another team drafted the player or somehow has the rights,
I don't think you have the rights entirely, like, because there are specific Crew 2 contracts, mm-hmm. and that's what we're talking about, like, going back and forth. So, like, Chicago could come in and sign a Crew 2 guy very easily, you know, if you're going to offer him more money and the Crew aren't willing to just match that type of thing. But I think if you're a draft pick for somebody else and they have not signed you, I do believe that, well, maybe they keep your MLS rights. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I heard when this was coming together that there was some confusion about how that worked.
There's a lot of confusion in those roles, in those rules, like a lot. It's just going to adjust as it goes. But that's peak MLS.
Fair enough.
Hey, at least it's MLS 2 at this point.
That is true.
MLS Next Pro, next all capital.
All right. Well, we look forward to that.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm looking at your pizza there, Drew. You pulled all the pickles off of it.
Not a pickle guy.
Really?
Me
Why'd
either.
You order a pizza with pickles?
I forgot to ask for them.
All right. Fair enough. Well, enjoy your pizza here at Sausage Brew Works. They are very, very good. I might grab one of those pickled chips on the way out. We thank Saucy for having us again. We'll be back next week. For Sam, for Murph, for Drew, thank you for being here. Please come back.
Thank you for having me.
Keep doing what you're doing at MassReport.com. My name is Brian. Listen to my radio station, 92.9. I would appreciate that. Like and subscribe to the MassReport podcast. We'll see you next week for a preview of the Nashville game and the big PIPA honor and putting them in the Ring of Honor, whether let us or not. And until then, have a great week.